This is JLPT Bootcamp, the ultimate guide to passing the JLPT in less time with less pain. This is the JLPT Bootcamp podcast with your host, Mac. This is episode 126, and this is a how to study episode. Do one of these every 4 weeks, and then in 2 weeks I'll do a cultural episode about what it's like living in Japan. But we are getting very close to the test. We're about 3 weeks away from the December test, and I've really been kind of refining and shaving down my study plan and trying to focus on the things that are going to give me the most bang for the buck, not general studying, which is usually what I do most of the time, but this 2 month period before the test, I like to try to refocus again, focus on some of the skills that are needed for the test in order to pass. And lately, I've gotten more and more annoyed at doing vocabulary drills. A lot of this has to do with it, being just tremendously boring to do the same thing over and over again, no matter what kind of system you use. If it's Anki or my favorite, Memrise, which is a very, very well-built system that has a lot of gaming features into it, that's built into it, as well as a lot of crowdsourcing of mnemonics and things. It's a lot of fun, but it can still get pretty boring. And also, because at a higher level, it's easy to get two words that have a similar meaning mixed up very easily. And there were some simple words in my memorized courses that I've just been ignoring and pruning out and just trying to clean up that deck and try to narrow it down just to some of the more difficult words that I really need to know for the test and things. So I've been, of course, ignoring a lot of vocabulary, kind of deleting it. And on Memrise, I have been studying the old N2 course, and that it's kind of really big course, that, and so you can't really study it on the mobile app, because mobile app can only load kind of smaller courses on it. So I've almost dropped the whole course a few times, but I've decided on a little bit different course of action. What I've been doing lately is taking every single word I get wrong and adding it to a Japanese-only deck. This is how I teach. I teach full immersion, and so I know that a Japanese-to-Japanese is the best way to learn. A lot of people recommend that. A lot of people recommend getting a Japanese-to-Japanese dictionary as soon as you possibly can. I've been a little lazy about switching over, mostly because I can't find a good source of resources for practicing Japanese to Japanese words. Memrise, there's a few lists that are kind of scattered and not really well organized that have Japanese word, Japanese definition. But there really isn't that many lists that I can find. I guess I haven't looked on Anki. I'm sure there's got to be at least one or two on Anki that practice the Japanese vocabulary that way. And so I've been really kind of doing that manually right now, which obviously takes a tremendous amount of time that I don't really have, to be honest. But I am kind of seeing a difference, because I am kind of being reminded of how it's used. Japanese to Japanese dictionaries also have collocations, so I've included those in the definitions. And so just it's better to get a very clear picture of what the word is. Now, this is after I've at least practiced the English definition for the word once or twice, or, well, probably a couple times with the N2 deck. And so I'm familiar with the word. I've heard it before. I've seen it before. Just wanting to be able to become really familiar with the usage of it, how it's used, and the exact definition of the word. And I think for me, this really helps, this two-angle approach. Knowing the English and also knowing the Japanese both kind of clarifies a word for me. Some special words. There's some words that are very obviously, you know, you don't really need any clarification on. I mean, a dog's a dog, a cat's a cat. But there are some really complicated vocabulary words that aren't exactly, that aren't used exactly how they're used in English. So that's been interesting. I mean, basically, the reason for this is when memorize the data that I used to create the main dictionary for memorize is from the WWJDIC, which is very good dictionary. It's from Jim Bean. Maybe that's obviously not right. Jim Bream. He's a researcher in Japanese, and he has a large online dictionary that's freely available. And so that dictionary I memorize is linked. It's Japanese to English definitions. And so I'd like to find something that's open source that's Japanese to Japanese so I can do that on the other side. I haven't found anything. Of course, I haven't really been looking that hard. So if you know of anything that's open source, I'd love to hear about it. But I'll try to hunt down something that I can use. But so it's taken me a very long time to get to this full immersion stage. And you know, when I studied for N5, N4, N3, it was a lot of English to Japanese materials. Starting in N3, there was all Japanese, starting to get into all Japanese materials. N2, there's a little Japanese to English. Vocabulary was still English to Japanese. And then, of course, N1, it's Japanese to Japanese. Now, you can start, obviously, earlier than N1 and start practicing even from day one. You know, definitions in Japanese. It's going to be a little bit difficult, but you can do it that way. And a lot of people recommend this. I mean, full immersion seems to get a lot of praise as like the way to study a language. And for the most part, it is a pretty good method for, I think, hardcore language lovers. Obviously, I teach English in English. I don't use any Japanese in the classroom, sometimes out of the classroom for counseling and things, talking to students, I sometimes use Japanese, but for the most part, it's all in English. And so, obviously, if I'm studying a language, it makes sense that I would follow that exact same kind of pattern. But I think full immersion is helpful, but it can also lead to a bit of confusion, especially right at the beginning of learning a language. And it can also be very just demotivating because you can't really get into the language and it's not easy to get the study habit started. I would say, yes, full immersion is good. You should probably convert over to it before N1, maybe around the N3 stage. But it's still a mixed bag. I mean, some recent studies suggest that at the early stages of language learning, it might actually be better and faster to use one's native language, what language teachers call L1, to learn with instead of just trying to guess the meanings of these particular grammar points. I like to call this kind of half immersion, where you do immerse yourself sometimes, but not all the time. Mostly if you're trying to do conversation, if you're talking to a Japanese friend or Japanese person of some kind, like a clerk or somebody at a restaurant or a hotel, then obviously it should all be in Japanese, and you should practice it in that sense, in conversation. I've always had some issues understanding explanations of grammar points in Japanese. And sometimes it's because it's filled with too much jargony language terms. Sometimes the grammar point is just really too complicated to try to be explained in Japanese. Even with just one sentence, it's too complicated to just explain away in one sentence. Or just for whatever reason, I like to look at both the English explanation and the Japanese one. Even for this higher level, even at N1, I do use Shinkansen Master, which has, it's all in Japanese. But I also have a grammar dictionary, a phrase dictionary that I use to look up that has an English explanation of each grammar point. And also use some other resources to try to get a good grasp on how a particular grammar point is used. Just because I feel like you need a really well-rounded understanding of how to use something, especially if it's just something that just does not click right away. You need to really overlearn it in order to be able to use it confidently in real life, as well as answer questions about it on the test. So I've been a bit hesitant to switch completely to Japanese dictionaries because I'm afraid I won't be able to lock in vocabulary as well as if it's an English definition. And also some Japanese definitions are just more complicated than the word they describe. I mean, this is especially true for very simple verbs. Sometimes there's a really long definition for, you know, something that in English is just one word with some clarification. So I guess the moral of the story is that, I started at N1, but if you are studying, and if I were to do it again, I would probably start around the N3 level. It'd still be pretty difficult, and I'd still probably, you know, you'd still kind of struggle with some things, but I think that's a good level to start trying to think more natively into Japanese, pure Japanese. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm also still boiling down the grammar, keeping a grammar notebook, writing some example sentences, getting them checked, really trying to narrow things down and get that really confident with it. I guess this last month I've really focused on grammar and vocabulary a lot, and doing some regular reading and some regular listening review, but I was a bit shocked with my score last time. It was really pretty low in vocabulary and grammar, which is a section that I usually typically score the highest in. So wanted to bring that back up again, try to gain back a few points, and keep my reading and listening high as well. We'll see. But right now, honestly, I'm hoping to improve my scores somehow, and not for it to regress and get lower, because just a whole ton of fires have kind of broken out in my personal life that I've been trying to put out recently, and I'd like to do more JLPT practice when I'm alert and awake, but that really hasn't happened. I've just been doing a lot of studying when I'm half asleep on the train home or late at night or something, and I haven't really gotten the study time in that I'd like to, because a lot of different kind of things have popped up, and it looks like one of the biggest things is that it looks like pretty soon, I don't want to jinx it, got my fingers crossed, but it looks like we are probably going to move into a house here very soon, so finishing up the paperwork with that and really putting some things together and working out all the details and learning about how to buy a house in Japan and how to negotiate a good price in Japanese. Those are all kind of things that I've been learning to do here in the last couple weeks. So, again, trying to just keep focused and steady in this final stretch here. Hope you are too. I'd like to hear about what you are doing in this final stretch, this final last couple weeks to really get it packed in and keep motivated and stay motivated so you can pass the test for December. I'd love to hear about it. This is episode 126. You can visit the JLPTbootcamp.com blog and leave me a comment on this particular post, or while you're there, you can click on the contact me button. Leave me a send me a message that way if you have a question about the JLPT or about Japan in general. Or if you love old-fashioned email, you can email me. It's mac@jlptbootcamp.com. I'd love to hear from you any of those three ways. So keep studying, and I hope to hear good news from everyone right after the test. So, all right, good luck. Happy studying. To claim your free 21-page ebook on the 5 biggest mistakes people make on the JLPT, as well as more tips and tricks to help you pass the Japanese language proficiency test, come visit me at jlptbootcamp.com.